Good morning, Bishop Rabbi Krohn. We are on top of Samach Tes Amud Beis. So yesterday we concluded with discussion around when you collect the what's known as the dowry for the woman. We talked about basically the situation was that the father had passed away. We had some conversation about that, and then where we ended up yesterday was around the concept of that you collect pretty much from real property and not from movable property, and that led to a whole story between Rav Anan and Rav Huna. Rav Anan sent a question or a message to Rav Huna, and didn't refer to him as Rav Huna, he referred to him as Huna. Huna didn't like it. He sent him back. He sent somebody, and he told the person if he didn't say the message in the exact same way, he would put it in Chayrim, and he told him, he called him Anan, not Rav Anan, and he added in this question, which he didn't really understand, and it kind of concluded that if you don't understand the question, you shouldn't be calling him Huna, you should be calling him Rav Huna, and it ended up leading into the Mishnah, basically saying that the halacha is that you collect from real property, not from movable property, whether we're talking about for any of the concepts, whether it's for the dowry, which is the parnasa, whether it's for support, which is mizonos, or whether it's for the ksuba itself. So now starting the new Mishnah, and this should take us through the end of the parak today. Mishnah begins Hamashlish Ma'os Levito. So someone appoints or someone deposits with a trustee for his daughter money, so that after he dies, so that he can buy for her some sort of field. So in other words, the goal is that he gives money to this trustee. Trustee says, if I'm not able to, I want you to buy this field for my daughter. The purpose of that is that she can own the field. And there's a concept when it comes to a woman getting married. There's two things. It was known as Nichsei Malog, Nichsei Tzon Barzel. In either case, the husband is able to benefit in one way or the other from the property, but the property really remains with the wife herself in one form or another. But bottom line is he tells this trustee, buy this for my daughter so that she'll have it. But he omeres, she says, Neman Bali Alei, you know, I trust my husband. You don't have to buy me a field and let me hold on to it. Just give my husband the money. And when he's ready or when I need it, if I need a field, I trust that he'll buy the field for me. Yase Hashlish, Mashalish Oshbiado. Divir Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, no, he shouldn't listen to what the wife says, what the daughter is saying. He should still do what he was commanded to do. You know, he should do that the person who died gave him an edict to do, to buy a field, and he should do what he was told to do and not listen to what the daughter is saying. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he disagrees. V'chi eina sadeh ela sadeh v'hirotz l'machra. He says, what's the point of this? Like, once he buys her the field, and she has the field, a second later she could just sell it. Like, once she owns the field, you know, so what's the point of the trustee buying the field? If she wants to, she could just sell the field and do what she wants with it. So it's as if it's already sold. So why bother saying that the guy has to buy her the field and go from that? But what are we talking about here? And the Gemara is going to question, what are we even talking about when we say Bamed Dvar Marurim? Because we just said two cases. This is the first case where Rabbi Meir says, he says that he has to follow what the father told him to do, or is it Rabbi Yossi where he says he should just give her the money because she could sell it anyway? So which case are we talking about? Well, Gemara will talk about that. But in any case, Amed Dvar Mamur and Bigdola. It's only when she's an adult. Ava Biktana, if she's below age, Ein Maase Ketana Klum. What she says really is doesn't mean anything. So again, the Gemara will try to figure out. Are we talking about Rabbi Meir? Are we talking about Rabbi Yossi? But in any case, the statement is that is only whatever we're talking about only applies when they're above age. Tana Rabbanan, Hamashlish Ma'os, starting the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Hamashlish Ma'os, L'chasno, L'kach Behen Tzad Levito. So someone, again, similar case, someone gives the trustee for the benefit of the son-in-law. So in other words, the son-in-law can benefit from the field to buy a field for the daughter. Meaning, same thing, he buys a field for the daughter. And it becomes, depending upon the concept, either Nichsei Malog, Nichsei Son Barzel, so the daughter has ultimate ownership, but the son-in-law is able to benefit one way or the other from the field itself. So he gives the trustee this money to go buy this for the daughter and the son-in-law to benefit. V'hil Meres, and she says, same thing like we just learned, Inat Nulabali, give it to my husband. You know, don't bother. Just give it. Give the money to my husband. I don't need you to buy me a field. Mina nesuin harishus biado. If it's after they're fully married, they've gone through erusin and nesuin, and once they're already married, harishus biado. She has the right at that point. She can say, you know what? Don't buy me the field. Just give the money to my husband. Min ha'erusin, but if they're only, you know, engaged, they're not fully married. Yasa shlish mashlish shpiado. He should do what exactly what he's told to do. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir's line of difference is pre-nesuin or post-nesuin, right? So if they're only gone through erusin and they have not gone through nesuin, he would say that he has to do what the father said. If it's after nesuin, then he could listen to the wife. So that's where Rabbi Meir draws the line. Rabbi Yossi Omer Hagdola, if she's old enough, over, you know, she's an adult, bein mina nesuin, bein mina erusin, regardless of whether she's just engaged or whether she's fully married, harishus biada, she is able to choose to, you know, to give the money directly to the husband. Ktana, but if she's below age, bein mina nesuin, bein mina erusin, whether she's fully married or only engaged, yasa shlish masha shushush biado. He has to do what he was told to do. So Rabbi Yossi's line of demarcation is age. You know, how is she, older or younger? And Rabbi Meir's line of demarcation is it erusin or nisuin? So that seems to be where they're staking out their territory. So my binaho. So what is the argument between them? What are they really arguing about here? Ilei makatana min erusin ikamineo. Maybe we would say that the case that they're really fighting about is where you have, yes, it was full nisuin, but we're talking about a katana. The Rabbi Meir savar harishus biada, because Rabbi Meir says that it's all about erusin versus nisuin. So for him, once she's married. It doesn't matter how old she is. Va'asa Rabbi Yossi lemeimer afila min nisuin nami gedola in katana lebe. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't matter at what point they are in the marriage cycle. It's all about age. So someone who is gone through nisuin, Rabbi Meir would say it's fine, regardless of the age. And Rabbi Yossi would say only if she's old enough, not if she's young enough. Now, if she's too young, I mean. Ema seifa. But what about the end of our Mishnah, where it says, ava b'ktana, when we're talking about someone who is below age, ein masa ktana klum, right? We said this up above at the end of the Mishnah. So what the someone who's below age, whatever they say or do doesn't really mean anything. Hamakasani lei. So who, like we said earlier, which part of the Mishnah is this going against? Is it going against Rabbi Meir? Is it going against Rabbi Yossi? Ilei mi Rabbi Yossi. If you want to say that it's going against Rabbi Yossi, hamireishishmat lei. You already know from according to the first part of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi says Rabbi Yossi's whole point of view is it's all about age anyway, right? He doesn't care about where you are in the marriage cycle. Rabbi Yossi's point of view is you're either older or younger. So he always says the younger wouldn't work. So what does it add on to him? V'chi eina el asada v'hi rotza l'machra. If you know it was a field that she already had and she wanted to sell it, harehu machra b'achshav. That's what he says in the Mishnah, right? He says, go back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, V'chi eina el asada v'hi rotza l'machra, v'hi rotza l'machra, she can sell it right away. Gedola devas v'ni'in, that only works if she's an adult, right? If she's an adult, she's allowed to sell the field. If she's below age, she is not able to sell the field on her own, so you wouldn't listen to her. So it seems to be redundant to say that statement is going to Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi's whole point of view is it's all about whether she's old enough or young enough, right? So that added statement doesn't really add anything. El Rabbi Meir, maybe we must say it's Rabbi Meir. And v'chasuri mechzer v'hachitani. And what's really going on here is that the verbiage of the Mishnah is missing words. And this is what it really says. Yasa hashlish masha hushul shpiyado. So back in the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Meir, yasa hashlish masha hushul shpiyado, that the trustee has to do what he's told to do. Bamed var mamurim. When do you do that? Mina erusin. It's only after erusin. Ava mina nesuin harishus biada, but once she's fully married, she has the right to sell the field. Then, b'med devar memorim, then you would add in the second little added part at the end of the Mishnah, b'med devar memorim, when does this apply? B'gdola, only when they're an adult. Ava b'ktana, but if she's too young, ein masa ktana klum. So therefore, this seems to imply that both Rav Meir and Rabbi Yossi would agree that someone who's below age isn't listened to even after Nisuin. So we're back to the question about what are they arguing about? Ela gedola mina erusin iko b'neiu. What they're really arguing about is someone who's a gedola, who's above age, but they've only gone through erusin. Because we learned, you know, because that seems to be one of the points of disagreement, right? We said that Rabbi Meir's line is either before erusin, no, after nisuin, yes. And Rabbi Yossi was the one who said it was about age, so maybe there's a difference. So if the gedola always works according to Rabbi Yossi, but it doesn't work according to Rabbi Meir when it's only erusin, so maybe that's what they're disagreeing about. Itmar, Rabbi. So the bottom line is like, so who does the halacha follow? So maybe yes, that's what they're disagreeing about. Itmar. So who does the halacha follow? Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel. He says that Rabbi Huda says the name of Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, that we'd follow Rabbi Yossi. And again, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that it's all about age. Rava Amar Rav Nachman halacha k'Rabbi Meir says no. They say no. It's the other way around, and it's all about the line in the sand in terms of whether they're engaged or married. Ilfa tala nafshei iskra de mechusa. So Ilfa went and he was standing on the top of the mast of a sail. Just to give a little bit of background on this. This goes back to a Gemara in Tanis. A Gemara in Tanis tells a story about Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, that they needed money. And because they needed money, they went on this business venture to earn money. And once they went out, you know, I guess they went out sailing or they were on a boat. Once they started going out, Rabbi Yochanan heard somehow from Malach that one of them was destined to become a great Talmud Chacham. And because he heard that, he assumed that he was, and he heard that, and Ilfa didn't hear it. So Rav Yochanan assumed that he was the guy that was meant to be the big Talmud Chacham. So he left the business. He went back to the yeshiva, and he became, a great Rosh Yeshiva. So he went back to yeshiva and became a great Rosh Yeshiva. Ilfa went out and continued to do his business. When Ilfa came back, people said to him, "You know what? Rav Yochanan became a great Talmud Chacham because he came back and went to yeshiva. You didn't because you went out to become business." So Ilfa always set out to prove that he was just an equal Talmud Chacham to Rabbi Yochanan. So the whole point of this is that, you know, he's continually trying to say, hey, you know, show me, I can prove to you that I'm a great Talmud Chacham. So what he's doing here, he's on a boat, he's standing on the top of a sail, and Amar, he says, back to the Gemara, Ika da'ase, if there's anybody, the Amar li milsa devei Rab Chiya v'Rabbi Yoshia, v'opashtina le nafilam iskra v'tavana. So you're basically saying, if anyone could tell me a baraisa that was taught by Rechia Rav Oshia, right? So baraisas are things that were not specifically included in Mishnayos, right? They were brought in later on. So he's saying, if anyone could bring me a baraisa, and from there I can show you how it really comes down in a Mishnah. And if I'm not able to find you that proof, I should fall off the sail and drown, right? So again, he's trying to show his credibility, right? That he's a great Talmud Chacham. So Asa Hahu Sava Tanile. So this old man came to him and gave him told him this baraisa. And the whole point of this is this has connection to some of the stuff we've already learned, but you know, somewhat indirectly. So Haomer, Tinu Shekel Levana Beshabbos. Someone says to a trustee, you know, after I die, every week give a shekel to my sons. So give a shekel, one shekel per week. Uruyin litein la sela. A sela is two shkalim. So sela is twice as much. And they see that based upon the economy, a shekel a week isn't going to be adequate, right? He needs at least a sela to be self-sufficient, right? He needs food prices, inflation, whatever he sees, that he really has to give him a sela. So even though he was told to give him a shekel once a week, he realizes that he really has to give him a sela to make any difference. No selahem sela. He should give the sela. So even though he was told to give a shekel, the assumption is that if the father had recognized that inflation was going to come, he would have said, give him a sela instead. However, im amar al tnito lehem el a shekel, if the commandment that he given or the direction he given was give them only a shekel, right? Not give them a shekel, but give them only a shekel, and you know, theoretically, because he doesn't want all the money to go at once. Ein nosel mehem el shekel. You're only supposed to give them a shekel at a time, not to sell it as he needed. Also, the im armor imesu yarshu acherim tachtem. If he says, if they die before they use up my entire estate, other people should be able to inherit other than them. So that's sort of implying that the father's goal is not to give them everything in their estate, but only give them this specific amount every week. So bein she'amar tnu, bein she'amar al tnu. So whether he said give them a shekel, or whether he said give them only a shekel, in that case, if he again said if they don't use up what's in the estate before they die, give it to someone else. Ein nosel mehem el shekel. It means that the father really only wanted to give a specific amount per week to the children. It wasn't meant for them to be always, you know, use up his estate, however it was. So that's a baraisa. And again, the whole point is for, you know, hey, Ilfa, find me the Mishnah that quotes it. So Ilfa is going to come back to something related to our Mishnah. So Armalei, hi, money. Who's the Tana of this baraisa that you just quoted to me? Going to the top of Ayin of Aleph. Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir from our Mishnah. Because Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, what is he really teaching? Mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. You have to do what the mace told you to do. So again, our Mishnah started off with saying that if the father told the trustee to give to buy the field, Rabbi Meir's opinion was he has to listen to what he was told to do, right? So because he has to follow the directive of the father. So even though in theory, well, you know, once the father gives the money to the trustee and says, hey, trustee, after I die, buy this field for my daughter, that money is technically the property of the daughter at that point. But it's really the trustee has the right to do with it as he's directed. In this case, he has to do what he's told by the father. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. So he somehow, basically what he's trying to say is our Mishnah is the ultimate source for the Braisa, and it's basically saying what Rabbi Meir would have said. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Ukva, Hilchasa, this is the halacha, Bein She'amar Tnu, whether the father said, give them a shekel, give them one shekel at a time, Bein She'amar Al Tnu, he only give them one, and only give them only a shekel, you know, so again, we said the verbiage was, if he said only give them a shekel, really only give them a shekel, Nosel Mekol Sarka, what we should do is give them what they actually need. Right, so if the inflation has happened, they really need a sella, give them a sella. The Gemara asks, "Hai kaimelad halacha Rabbi Meir?" But we just learned that the halacha should follow Rabbi Meir. What has Rabbi Meir said? Amar mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. You should do what the mace told you. What did the mace tell you to do? He told you to give a shekel a week, not to give. Not you don't have to make them totally cared for. He doesn't want them to have access to the full estate. He wants to give them one shekel at a time. Mar answers, Haini mile b'mila acharina. That rule might apply in other cases. Ava baha meinach nichale. But in that case, we assume that he wants to be provided with what they need. So in our case, so again, he's saying that there's multiple situations here. In our case, what we're talking about here is when he tells the trustee, give them a shekel a week, he wants to give them enough of an allowance to really be able to care for themselves. So therefore, a shekel may no longer be adequate. He has to give them a sella. V'had amar hachi, and when he says only a shekel, what he really means is lizarino hadasi. He really wants them to be, you know, don't sit back and say, you know, I'm going to live off the old man's money, right? I'm only going to give you a shekel a week, and the rest you have to earn on your own. So therefore, you know, therefore, even though the halacha might be Rabbi Meir, it depends upon the circumstances. The circumstance is that we think it's because the father really wanted to care for them forever, or he wanted to give them just enough and make them earn enough on their own. Tanan hasam. We learned in another Mishnah, this Mishnah is from Gittin, Hapa'otos, so you have young children, and I think Rashi says that by this it means that it's someone who's 8 or 9 years old, so they're young but not too young. Mechan, Mekach, Mechran, Mechran. What they purchase and what they sell are valid, the metaltlin, when it applies to metaltlin, movable property. So typically, we know that an underage person doesn't have the right to make transactions. But what this allowance is in the case of kids that you know, if you didn't give them the right to buy and sell food, they would starve, right? Because they might be all out on their own. So you need to give them, if they're old enough, you would give them the right to buy and sell things to be able to take care of themselves. So therefore, they have that right to actually buy and sell when it comes to movable property, you know, foodstuffs or whatnot. So I'm a Rafram. Lo shanu elish ain sham apotropos. This only applies when there is no apotropos. And apotropos is like an administrator for orphans, right? So if they're charged to take care of the needs of the orphans, then there's someone who has that responsibility to take care of them. But if they don't have someone who's there to take care of them, they then are given the right to buy and sell on their own. But if there's an administrator, an apotropos, ein mechan mekach ve'ein mechran machbecher, what they buy and sell is meaningless because that's the responsibility of the administrator, right? He's supposed to buy and sell for them. The only reason they were given this potential right to do so was so that they could take care of themselves. Mimai, how do I know this? Midiktani, which our Mishnah taught, ein mase ktana klum, and that we just learned, and then our Mishnah that what the minor does on their own is meaningless. So bottom line is that if there's an administrator, they don't have the right to do anything because what they would do on their own is meaningless. The Dilma Hecha de Ikash Shlish Shani. Maybe it's different. In our Mishnah, we didn't talk about an apotropos. We didn't talk about an administrator. We talked about a trustee for a very specific purpose, right? We talked about the father basically makes this guy an agent to go buy a field. So it's not the same as appointing an administrator of an estate. So maybe there's a difference between what our Mishnah was talking about in this case. So Gemara answers, Im Kain listening. If so, then what does the Mishnah should say? Ava b'ktana yase shlish mashal hushlash biyado. It should say, in the case of a minor, the trustee should do what he was told to do. That's not the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, doesn't say that. The Mishnah says, ein masik ktana klum. What the minor does on his own doesn't mean anything, right? It should be more specific if that was the case. It should say that the agent should do what he's told to do. So my ein masik ktana klum. So why does it say that what the minor does doesn't mean anything? Shma mina afilo ba'alma. We learn that in this case, that even in the case of a minor of an administrator who doesn't have any other specific instructions, that the minor can't do anything on his own. The minor has to be dependent upon the administrator. So bottom line is that if there's an administrator, then the minor is, you know, an apotropos, the minor is unable to buy or sell. The only case where he's able to buy or sell where there's no one to take care of them. So with this, we'll conclude the sixth parak. Hadra Lech Messiah Haisha. Congratulations to finish the sixth parak. Mitzvah Shem will continue next week. Everyone should have a wonderful day.